it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games that's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Nancy Guthrie, 84 years old. In the dark hours of February 1st, somebody got into her Tucson home, left blood on her porch, and took her. And there's still no body, no arrest, not even a name. But a note went out to local TV stations claiming she was dead, buried, and with nature. So here's the puzzle. How does anyone charge a murder with no victim, no suspect, and the only confession sitting in a TV station's mailroom? This part takes the prosecution's side, whether that one untraceable note is enough to carry the case. We're going to talk about what prosecutors might be looking at right now with no body and no suspect, but still starting to put building blocks in the case to go after somebody. Joining us to do just that, Eric Faddis, defense attorney, and Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Eric, you were once a prosecutor, so let's put on that cap for a moment. Nobody, she's been declared legally dead, but nobody's found her. She has not been declared legally dead. If you're the prosecutor, where do you even start building a murder case when you can't put the victim in front of the jury? And is that wall as tall as everybody thinks? What's going on right now in terms of considering how they're going to go after whoever they find?
Gosh, you know, Tony, in theory, a prosecution does not require the victim's body. Now, that's not an element per se that has to be met. But I can't think of a case in recent memory where the prosecution has gone forward on a homicide charge, didn't have the body, and still got a conviction. Just cannot fathom it. It's just too difficult to rule out other potential explanations, to rule out an accident, to rule out that she did this to herself. Of course, there's no significant indication of that, but just these are things that you have to rule out when you go to trial, and you cannot, in practical sense, rule those things out without the body. So I'm sure they're frantically searching, you know, the desert to try to find something. But that'd be a tall order for sure.
You know, with all that's going on and the heavy caseload that prosecutors have, law enforcement has, and we've talked about this numerous times before, you know, we have the stack that's this high and you have the bandwidth to do about this much. In reality, how much do you think the prosecution or prosecutors involved right now with this case, actively engaging agents on the grounds, directing them on what they're looking for? So I'm going to do two parts in there. How actively do you think they're actually engaging with law enforcement, and actually how much direction do you think they're giving law enforcement?
You know, I certainly think that there is a concerted effort among prosecutors and law enforcement entities to try to reach some kind of resolution, some kind of closure of this case. But how much is going on right now? I mean, it's sad to say this case has gone cold, you know, what I would imagine is that they are trying to search for the body, which they've been doing since the very beginning, of course. And we're talking about a broad landscape, you know, unforgiving terrain. Infinite possibilities where this body could be found. So certainly drones, cadaver dogs, there are tools at law enforcement's disposal. But for them to be successful with those tools hasn't happened yet, and it's looking rather grim.
If you're the prosecutor in this case and you're watching where we're at with everything and what's been playing out over the last 5 months, how horrified are you? How not just at obviously this is a sad, horrible case, but horrified at the investigative work, horrified at Nanos and everything he said, horrified possibly at some of the steps of the FBI or not steps of the FBI. I mean, there's a lot of holes in this that are already gaping, it seems, at least, you know, from those of us who've been analyzing it. And certainly, you know, some of them sound pretty big as we talk about them on shows. But are they in reality when it comes comes to prosecuting a case? If you're sitting there and you're watching this, are you thinking, oh, God, even if we do get the person, is this going to be a get out of jail free card for them because of all the missteps? Or is it too soon to really go down that road?
I fear that we are at the end of that road. I fear that even if they were to find the body and develop evidence sufficient to charge a defendant, that there have been so many missteps, so many errors on the law enforcement side that it could foreclose the possibility of a conviction. Look, as a prosecutor, you need law enforcement to be helping you. Getting a case beyond a reasonable doubt across the finish line in a homicide context is hard enough without being stymied by the folks on your own team. And so when that happens, little missteps here and there can be explained away. Everybody's human and you can, make the jury realize that. But there have been some pretty cataclysmic problems in this case so far, and that's going to spell trouble even if they do find a body and find a defendant.
You know, one of the things that a lot of people don't understand so much, I think, and I didn't either until you start working on these cases, is the amount of direction that law enforcement does get from prosecutors, because law enforcement can't do anything with a case unless there's someone who wants to prosecute that case. So there's a lot of collaboration going on there. And there's a lot of direction then that the prosecutors are telling law enforcement, hey, we need to focus on this. I need this, this, this. It would be better if we had this. So what kind of things as a prosecutor would you be looking for directing law enforcement? Do you think, again, just what we have public knowledge, because we don't know what they're doing behind the scenes, but what kind of things do you think the prosecutors are directing law enforcement and or FBI to go after that might help build that case they don't have right now?
Yeah, Robin, I remember being in that role and I was working hand to hand with those folks. We have each other's cell phones and we're talking about the case and I'm going out to the scene. I'm saying, hey, we need to do some more forensic analysis of this piece and we need to acquire a search warrant for this device and things like that. And so I'm sure that they are directing it, especially in terms of search warrants and production of records requests for apps, for digital devices, including for any Guthrie devices of the victim. Sometimes that can shed some kind of light if she was being harassed, or if she was if there was someone who had friended her on all of these social media things, who's a stranger and who's making weird comments. There are just, you have to leave no stone unturned, and it's a collaborative effort for sure.
And one more thing on that too, has either of you been surprised? And it just popped in my mind a few minutes ago. I remember I covered a lot of the prison breaks that happened in the last couple of years. And I remember the one up in Pennsylvania, Cavalcante, I think the guy's name was. And one of the things that the state police did really almost immediately is they brought in the Border Patrol agents, and they brought in their human tracking capability with their dogs. And not just because there's different kinds of dogs that do different kinds of skill sets. And they used all the Customs Border Patrol assets for finding people in trying to locate, the escapee at that time. And then they've used it in other areas. Has anyone been, I haven't seen it reported anywhere. I just did a double check that they're actually used that resource. Are either of you shocked that we don't know of them actually using that resource here? And Eric, have you seen them use that kind of resource? And is that useful doing prosecutions?
Yeah, no, I've seen those resources be used in the appropriate circumstances. And there are even more non-traditional things, Robin. You may have seen, clairvoyance and people who have claimed to have a sixth sense there. So, I imagine they are exploring every possible opportunity.
Well, I will tell you, I did the research on the clairvoyance once. That has been zero cases, zero, where that actually helped find someone.
I remember an Unsolved Mysteries episode, Robin, in 1988, where they solved it. And Robert Stack said it's true. And he was wearing a big old trench coat walking through fog. So it must be true. at this point, I don't know.
I'm just surprised they haven't, because there are so many skills and tools and techniques that experts in a specific niche have. And you would think, if you have a situation that, again, that we have on the outside looking in, where you have someone who can do both a porch guy and as well as a human being that used to live in a house that apparently completely went poof and vanished in the middle of the night, you would expect different resources to be on the ground, but additional resources, which are low effort. I mean, that group is very used to tracking people across desert. I was just kind of shocked. Anyway, I digress.
Eric, what's your take? I mean, not necessarily from a legal, I mean, maybe there's a legal perspective here too, but what's your take on the revelation, I should say, of the second note? Because this is old news, but it's new news to most people because it was not public information. The buried with nature now note. And there's, as with everything in this case, there's 50 different sources saying, well, this note says buried with nature, says there's apology. This one says there's not let's go with the note that says buried with nature. What's your take on it? Does this track to you? Is this something, if you were a prosecutor, you're like, that must be the person who took her? Or is it, I mean, it certainly is an abnormality in any sort of case like this. Like, that doesn't happen. Very rarely do we ever get an I'm sorry, she's with nature now type note. I mean, I don't know. What's your take on it, as a person and looking at it through a legal lens?
You know, it's a good point, Tony. And I think we have to kind of interrogate the potential motives behind that note. You know, it could be someone who just wants attention. It could be someone who is trying to further orchestrate some sort of extortion plot and wants to throw people off of the trail. It could be someone who, in fact, did engage in some sort of kidnapping that got botched, things went south, and this person's dead. And now they sort of want to tell the cops, hey, you guys, like, be easy on this. You don't need to keep investigating. It's over. Please don't come catch me. So, you know, I think we need to assess kind of what those motives might be for whomever authored that note.
Does it affect? Let's just go down the road for a second and let's pretend or theorize that the person who wrote that note is the person who had Nancy Guthrie and she died in their possession. Does that note affect anything when it comes to charging this person of the seriousness of the crime if, in fact, she is dead? Or is it just more noise? It's great that you put those extra toppings on the sundae and you feel shitty about it, but at the end of the day, you took somebody and she's dead. You're responsible. Does it weigh anywhere in that equation?
Potentially helps the prosecution because if they're pursuing a homicide case, you've got to prove the person's dead. Even if it appears pretty darn likely based on the circumstances, this person's probably dead. That's not always enough for jurors. You know, people do crazy stuff. I'm not saying Nancy Guthrie did this, but perhaps, you know, people in other cases have left their entire lives and went to Ecuador. And, you know, you just have to sort of shore up any sort of loose end. And this note kind of does that with respect to establishing the death, assuming its credibility.
Mm-hmm. What does this look like as a case if it turns out to go down the theory that I've been talking about the last week, of they went to the wrong house, of if the gem guy, we've talked about that, the guy who was collecting gems, neighbor, literally, you could throw a gem from her house and hit his house. They're that close, literally neighbors, literally, sometimes a Google pin drop away, or sometimes Google puts the pin on the wrong house. That happens too, which I could see like, oh, this is how they got the wrong house. If it was the wrong house, and it was not an intentional kidnapping, not an intentional murder, but it ended up being an intentional kidnapping and whatever happened to Nancy. Does that affect how this is prosecuted if they're able to say, we were actually going after the gems, this went horribly sideways and we made horrible choices along the way? Is that murder one? Is that murder two? Is that manslaughter? Is that something else? How does that look?
Yeah.
It is probably touching on this legal concept called transferred intent. Mm-hmm. So if I intend to shoot person A and that person ducks out of the way and I shoot person B and I get charged with a murder for person B and I say, whoa, I never intend to kill that person. That's crazy. This is a big mistake. It's a big accident. I'm not off the hook for murder because of this idea of transferred intent. And that idea can translate to kidnapping, could translate to burglary, could translate to a high level felony where they intended to go to house A. Instead, they went to house B. That doesn't somehow absolve you. And in fact, that intent carries with you and would connect to what's called a charge for felony murder, which is where someone dies during the commission of a high-level felony, and the perpetrator is on the hook for that death.
Yeah, so let me help me understand. I think I got it, Eric. So if We'll go with Tony's theory, and I think it's equally plausible as everything else we've been seeing so far, because we've always been, I'll say him and I, more on the track, if we're looking at laws of probability, that this was, well, one of the options is a intended burglary going for jewelry that went sideways with, and she died as an accidental result of a burglary of something they're looking for. Now, if it wasn't the porch guy's hands that killed her, in other words, she saw them, he encountered him, had a heart attack and died, and panic escalation, again, all low probabilities, I know, but there's still a probability, and he removed her body because of that panic escalation, but was not actually the cause of her death. Is that murder that he could be charged with, or is that homicide? In other words, how would that flush out if that's what they were going to go for as a defense?
It's a good question, and it reminds me of a similar hypothetical in which a person is eluding police. They're leading police on this police chase, and things are speeding up, and all of a sudden there's another vehicle, and things go awry, and that other vehicle gets struck, perhaps not even by the defendant, perhaps by the police, and that person dies. That defendant is still on the hook for that death, even though they did not directly cause the physical demise of that person. They caused the circumstances, the criminal circumstances that created the environment for and gave rise to this death that happened. And so I would think that under a felony murder theory, which is usually a class one felony or class two felony, one of the highest, that even under your hypothetical, that person would be responsible for that death, even though there were some accidental circumstances that actually killed the individual.
So that would be murder, not manslaughter?
It could also be charged as, I think it would be felony murder, which is usually a murder charge, but could they charge it as manslaughter, as being negligent and some death happened, being reckless and some death happened? I think those theories are also viable.
Interesting. Thank you.
I mean, if they do catch somebody, I'm sure the prosecution's going to go in swinging hard, maybe even higher than the charges should necessarily be. And the defense is going to come in swinging, going, no, it's not quite what you're saying it is. And that's going to be the crux of the whole case. If we get there, if we get somebody, that's our next line of conversation here. Your thoughts on that first part in the comment section, Substack, YouTube, wherever you're listening or watching, press subscribe and give us your thoughts.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.